I sure do appreciate that, don't you? I thank the Lord for this camp meeting and what camp meeting has done in my heart. And I certainly appreciate Brother Steve and Brother Rule and all those that work so hard. We got a lot of folks that work behind the scenes around here. And but I'm glad that Lord Jesus, he sees all that. And I'm thankful for those who help us. If preachers, if we'd ever get a hold of the truth that we're not competitors, we're companions. And we certainly ought to treat one another that way. Everybody's not alike. I understand that. And some of you look at me saying, thank God we're not like you. And but I'm grateful the Lord has certainly been good to us. And I like to laugh, cut up. And you never know what an encouragement that may be to somebody that may be carrying around a heavy load. And you'll go by and say something, they'll laugh at you. And it could get the mind off their problem a little while. And I enjoy life. I praise the Lord for what he's done. Look in our Bibles this morning to three passages of verse in the scripture. And we'll be brief tonight or today. But I want to give brother, I can't even think of brother. Joel Osteen. We want to give him plenty of time. Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. Yes, sir. I tell you, the older you get, the worse you are with names. It is to me. I'm 66. My little five-year-old grandboy, Luke, Diane, my wife, said, Luke, I want you to do something. And he didn't do it, and I went up to him. I said, Luke, I said, did you do what your nana told you to do? He said, Granddad, I am so sorry. He said, I just can't remember like I used to. And my 8-9-year-old grandboy Carter of the Winds tonight, our song leader wasn't there. I didn't know what he was going to do. My boy plays the piano. And I looked up and Carter got him a chair. And standing behind the pulpit, and he said, welcome to Midway Baptist Church. Let's get our song books, turn to so-and-so. And I'm telling you, he done a great job leading the singing. And the next morning, my other grandboy, Luke, one of my other ones, same one, he said, I said, Luke, I didn't even know that Carter was going to do that. He said, boy, that was a surprise to me. He said, Granddad, it might have been a surprise to you. He said, but God knew it last year. Amen. Amen. John chapter 11. I got to hurry up. John chapter 11 and verse 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. If you look back, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter number 7, we'll read just a couple of verses here that's dealing with the widow's son. In verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Then if you look over in Luke chapter 8, and for the sake of time, we'll read just verse 54. Bible says, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. I'd like to take these three passages and kind of bundle them up and say some things this morning about I was dead, but I didn't stay that way. Throughout our Bible, there are several passages that certainly describe you and I in our lost state. Matter of fact, Isaiah describes us as a dirty rag that needed cleaning. We are, my friend, described as a distant rebel that needed finding. We are described as a depraved reject that needed saving. But here I want to preach about I was a dead reprobate and I needed resurrection. That's the only thing that'll help me. The only thing that'll help you when you was lost is that the Lord may come by. Paul said that we're dead in trespasses and sin. Did you know it's possible to be alive and still be dead? I mean, in our text, we're trying to put these three accounts together where the Lord Jesus raised someone from the dead. The daughter of Jairus in Capernaum. The widow's son in Nain. And Mary's brother, Lazarus, there in Bethany. May somehow or another we kind of pick these and kind of group them all together and we'll see what a wonderful life that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. These three have something in common. First of all, each one received a quickening experience or the work of regeneration. We just read to those three characters there in the Bible. And I want you to know that these three characters got raised from the dead because of divine intervention. Can I say to you this morning, my friend, without divine intervention, we'd still be lost. We'd still be dead. We'd still be without Christ. We'd still have no hope in this world. But aren't you glad one day in your dead state that there was divine intervention that came your way? I'm grateful for that. I say this today. If you expect to start right, you got to get right. And my friend, you got to end right. I'm glad, my friend, that one day as a 22-year-old boy, my friend dead in trespasses and sin, I had no way of ever approaching him. I had no way of ever getting to him. But I'm glad in my dead state, I say bless his name. I'm glad there was divine intervention that came to me in my dead state. I could say this about these three characters. My friend, it was a miraculous experience. In the New Testament, there is a long list of miracles that our Lord performed. He opened blinded eyes and unstopped deaf ears and healed leprosy and he made the blind to see. But may I say to you this morning, I think the greatest miracle that our Lord ever performed was when Jesus, my friend, raised those, my friend, from the dead. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he walked out of the tomb. Now, I say he walked out. He might have floated out. I don't know. He was bound hand and foot. I don't know if he floated out. I don't know if he walked out or stumbled out. All I know is, thank God that he did get out. Amen. I tell you, if you read the text here, these verses, you'll find out that Lazarus was fenced in. But Lazarus was fetched out. And thank God Lazarus was freed up. I tell you all of that because there was divine intervention there in the life of Lazarus. And those that witnessed this miracle may have thought, my friend, who is that man think he is? He's out there hiring the dead folks. I do it every Sunday. A lot on Sunday night. We had a lady visit our church, Natalie's friend, and she's of a different flavor, and she don't understand. She wanted to know why we shout and why we cry and why in the world the preacher has to talk so loud up there. I tell you, I'm trying, my friend, to holler dead folks. That's how I got resurrected. Amen. I'm telling you today, my friend Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And then the woman, the widow's son was being carried, my friend, to a burial. And Jesus touched the coffin and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. There he is talking again to dead folks. I don't know, Brother Dana told me something. I forget how it went, but he told me about a black preacher preaching that and said that, he said something about, let's drop that, drop it and run. I probably would have. Amen. You be carrying a coffin and then somebody set up in it. Amen. I promise you, you're not just sit there cool, calm, and collective. There will be emotions running through you. Amen. I'm telling you, today, my friend, that she said, young man, arise and get up. And then he took the daughter of Jairus by the hand and said, maid, arise. And she stepped from death to life. I'll tell you, all three of these miracles was the same, but all of them was a little different. See, he spoke to Lazarus, and he touched the coffin of the widow's son, and he took the daughter of Jairus by hand. Though they were somewhat different, the results was the very same thing. I hear them testifying on Sunday morning. Lazarus stands up. Say, I'd like to give a word of testimony. They tell me I was dead 4 days. And all of a sudden, there in that tomb, I heard a voice that said, Lazarus, come forth. And by the time he finished, I can hear my friend, the widow's son, and I can hear her saying, it didn't happen to me like that. It wasn't like that for me. Oh, no. He said, I was already buried. They was carrying me to the gravesite. He touched the coffin that I was carrying in. And I came back to life. And then all of a sudden, I can hear Jared, the daughter of Jairus, by saying, they ain't what happened to me. Now, you might have been dead 4 days, and you might have been going to the graveside, but ain't the way it happened to me. I'm telling you, he literally came in there and touched me. I want to tell you, my friend, you don't have to have my experience, and I don't have to have your experience, but you better have an experience. You may have been on the couch. You may have been driving down the road. You may have been in the hospital, but I tell you, when God came by, the results was the very same for you and for me. But it didn't happen to me like that. It don't have to happen to everybody the same way. You remember the first three converts of Luke? Of Paul there in Acts chapter 16. The first one was a lady by the name of Lydia. And the Bible says that he has opened her heart. She had a quiet experience. This opened her heart. Then there was the demoniac, the woman. The Bible says that about her instantly was a change. And then there was the Philippian jailer. Now, Lydia had a quiet experience, and the other lady, the demon-possessed lady, and she had a quick experience. I guess the jailer had a quaking experience. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me where you's at, what you's doing. I tell you, you could have had a quiet experience. God could have just came.
have opened up your heart and made a difference in your life. It was just a quiet experience. You don't have to have my experience, but you better have your experience. The Bible said about that, I don't know how I got on all this, the Bible said about that girl was demon possessed, that he came out immediately. Changed immediately. Now, I've seen some people get saved, and they had some problems before they got saved, and it did not change immediately. Don't look at me like that. I tell you, it don't always happen. As a matter of fact, some of you could be still working on some things in your own life. See, you don't have to have a quick or a quiet. Or I've heard some testimonies, I'm telling you right now, about make the earth shake. Talk about where they was at, where they came from, and the drugs and the alcohol and all of these things. That's a quaking experience. But may I say to you, hey, you don't have to have that kind of experience. I tell you, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a visitation from that divine in the event of the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, it doesn't make no difference. Amen. Songwriter said, my Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. Took a miracle to put the stars in place. Took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Can I further illustrate this? You remember when Jesus and Peter was there in Capernaum, and they had to pay tribute. They had to pay something. I didn't have nothing. The only thing my friend Jesus said was put that hook in the water. He said, catch that fish. And he caught that fish and opened that fish's mouth. And in that fish's mouth was a coin. I don't know how long that coin been laying there. I have no idea. But he can't get up. Oh, I'm telling you, he can't move. There's no hope. I'm telling you, that fish swam around him. There's no hope. Don't know how long. The only hope, my friend, was for that fish to come by, pick up that coin, and bring it to the Lord. I'd just like to tell you, I laid down there for about 22 years, and I'm glad, hallelujah, there's one that came by my way and scooped me up. I say, bless his name today. They couldn't get up on their own. Oh, no. It was a miraculous experience. It was a marvelous experience. I'm not going to try to finish this. I've heard talk people talk, especially sports stars, and they sign in their name for about $40 million, and I said, boy, this is the greatest day of my life. I'm glad that there's a day in my life. The greatest day in my life was that day that God, through his grace, saved me. I say, hallelujah. God quickened me. God raised me up as a 22-year-old rebel. The greatest day of my life. I'm telling you, it was a marvelous experience. It was a momentous experience. I promise you, they never forgot. Never got over their experience. One wonder what happened every time they'd walk by a cemetery. I reckon the bubbles would overflow in their heart. I remember I was there. I remember I was there. I'm telling you, just like you and I that's been saved by the good grace of God, I'll tell you, we pass by a place that reminds us of our past, and we leave weeping and worshiping God. Thank God I don't live like that. Thank God I don't have to go back to that. Thank God I'm not the man that I used to be. I say hallelujah today. I'm glad for that quickening experience in life. Quickening. I never shall forget the day the burdens of my soul was rolled away. I asked you, and I'm going to move on and we'll quit. Have you ever had a quickening experience? I'm not talking about, and please don't get ahead of me, I'm not talking about a singing experience. Talking about a quickening experience. We got two nurses in our church, and I was asking them about it and forgot what they told me. But you know, when somebody's in the hospital and they die, they bring them paddles out, that machine out, and they take those paddles, say all's clear, and they'll put them on their pal. I'll just shake. Yeah. Pow. Yeah. You know why we have a lot of trouble with trying to keep folks in church, trying to keep them stirred, trying, my friend, to keep them faithful. I tell you why. They never been paled. If you ever get paled, if you ever get paled, I say hallelujah. I'm glad April the 28th, I got paled. New life came to me. I'm glad for that. Zapping experience. I say bless his name today. It was a quickening experience. It was a quickening experience. But not only it was a quickening experience, it was a quitting experience. I remember preachers used to preach about quit that mess. Hear it no more, do we? But I tell you, when I got saved, I'm glad my pastor told me there's some quitting involved in it. It sure is. A quitting experience. See, God does not save us and leave us the very same way that He found us. There's a change within that works its way without. And if you look at these three examples that I read unto you, you'll see evidence in their new life. Hey, if we believe right, we'll behave right. Look at Lazarus, hurriedly. We see the alteration of the new life. Verse 43, verse 44. Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't sing a hymn of invitation. I'm for that. I'm for that. I've been in some. I'm telling you, they preach 30 minutes and sang 50 stanzas just as I am without one plea. If I was sitting there lost, I'd probably come too. Amen. But he stepped out of the grave. And he was loosed from the wrappings and the trapping of death. I don't know. You've probably seen everything that I've seen before. But if you look at your Bible, you'll find out that Lazarus was not only bound, but he's blind. He had that thing around his eyes. He couldn't see. I'm telling you, listen to me. No doubt, my friend, when we get saved, born again, hey, we quit going back to the places we used to go. They hold no attraction for me. Amen. I like the church crowd. I like the camp meeting crowd. Amen. I like that changed crowd. I know so many that seem like still like to hang out with the dead. It's the dead that keeps them unfaithful. It's the dead that runs them off every weekend. It's the dead. I don't like hanging around the dead. I like to live in. Amen. I like God's children. I like to be around real life. Amen. Look at the daughter of Jairus. Not only in Lazarus we see the alterations of a new life, but in Jairus we see the appetite. You know, it seemed like me just as soon as she woke out of sleep, she had an appetite. Physical hunger is a sign of spiritual hunger. Physical life. Spiritual hunger is a sign of spiritual life. See what we do when we get saved? We push that plate away. Amen. Salvation will cause you to change your diet. I thought, and I preached some of this at our church the other Sunday, But I ask our folk, what do you like on your plate? What you got an appetite for? I'm telling you, she had an appetite for the good. God has given us, you and I, the saved, an appetite. An appetite for church. An appetite for prayer. An appetite for Bible reading. An appetite, my friend, for preaching. I get tired of this crowd saying they run from one church to another church. I know y'all don't have that around here, but we do in Greensboro and Jamestown. Well, I just won't get fed. I just won't get nothing. But what do you want? What do you want? I'm telling you, my friend, here, my friend, the daughter of Jairus, she had an appetite. And then there's the widow's son. You see the activity of a new life. See, he sat up and spoke up. Did you know that real spiritual life always results in spiritual movement? You quit going one way, you head to the other way. I hear this all the time illustrated about what repentance is and all that stuff. I'm not going to deal with all that. He says it's kind of like walking down the path, and then all of a sudden you turn around and go the other way. I'm going to tell you, it was more for me than that. I changed paths. Amen. Hey, I got off the broad street and I got on the narrow way. I'm telling you, my friend, the songwriter said, don't look for me to go where I used to go before. I don't go there anymore. I found a better way. I say, hallelujah. I'm glad there is a better way today. Bless his name. There's a quickening experience has to do with regeneration. A quitting experience has to do with repentance. Then there's a quality experience. That's a work of responsibility. See, we see the quality of our new life when we see God does quality work. You read these texts, they brought glory to the Lord. Quit whining and complaining and just give God the glory for what he's done in your life. Then you read over in the book of John that one was changed and others believed. Did you know that a lot of times more than one person's life is changed because you were changed?